As you're being seated, get out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So as many of you probably already know, Luke 2 is the story of the birth of Jesus. Luke has the longest and most detailed account of the birth of Jesus. And so on Sunday, we're going to come back to Luke chapter 2. We're going to take a much bigger 50,000-foot view of Luke chapter 2. But tonight, what I want to do is take a very familiar verse from a very familiar passage here, and we're going to get right down on the surface. So I want to walk through one verse tonight, and I want to go word by word. And so I don't recommend that you do this every single passage, what we're going to do tonight. But if there is maybe a passage that you are familiar with, or maybe there's something you're going to teach, or maybe there is a key passage, the big passages in the Bible, then I would recommend that you practice this that we're going to do tonight. So what we're going to do is hopefully help you to see some different facets of this verse that maybe you haven't seen, and teach you how to do this, which isn't hard at all, so that you can go back maybe to those other things, those other verses that you've known for a long time. So maybe John 3:16 would be a great verse for you to do this on. Philippians 4:13, something like that. Verses that you are familiar with to do this. And so the best way to start a word-by-word study of a verse is just to repeat it over and over. And as you do, emphasize a different word every time you say the verse. And you'll be amazed if you will do this at just how different hues of that verse will come out, and you will begin to understand it more, and it will have deeper meaning to you. And that's what we're going to do with this verse that we get to. And it will be a bit laborious, but I just want to show you how it works and show you what you can do. You don't have to go through necessarily every word like we're going to do tonight. You'll kind of get the feel for it, and maybe there's a couple of words that you can skip or emphasize together or whatever. But I want to do that tonight, okay? So go to verse 8 in Luke chapter 2, just so we can get a little context, and then we're going to read down through verse 11, and then we'll get started with our study. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." All right, so I want to camp out on verse 11. You've probably heard this 100 times. You may have it memorized. You may have even recited it 100 times as you were a kid or whatever. But I want to go through this one verse word by word. I want you to follow along. And here's what I want you to do. Each time I read this verse, if you have pen and paper, as I read it, I want you to write down just what your thoughts are as I read it. Because I think what you're going to find is that you'll be able to pull out some of the truths that we're going to discover tonight even before I give them to you. So I know a lot of people think, I can't study the Bible, I didn't go to seminary, whatever. I'm giving you a tool tonight, all right, that you can use on other verses so that you can think through what is being said in this verse. Now, first thing, obviously, is context. That's why we started in verse 8, right? But we're just going to camp right here. I'm going to read this over and over, and I just want you, each time I read it, if there's something that jumps out at you, then just jot that down and then see if at the end maybe you didn't discover some things on your own. All right, so here we go, verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, I know that seems a bit like, really? But if you will do that, I think you will begin to see how certain truths begin to jump out because of how you just look at this verse in a different way. So what I want to do tonight is I just want to walk through these. I'm not going to walk through literally word by word, but we're going to walk through it almost word by word, okay? And we're going to start with the first word, which is for. A lot of us think that these little words that are conjunctions are not important. They are extremely important in the Bible. Do not skip over these words. Every word has meaning. Every word, there's a reason that it was there, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So for is a conjunction. And what does a conjunction do? It connects two clauses together. And almost every time you see for, it usually means because or since. It tells you the reason something has occurred or the reason something should occur. And that's important because the angel of the Lord has just shown up with these shepherds, right? And they were afraid. They are fearful. There's great fear. However, the angel tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, this is more than just fear from being startled. Shepherds have been romanticized kind of in the modern times. The truth is, they weren't really good-looking, gentle, like we see on TV or in the Christmas plays. These guys were rough. They stank. They were pretty much stayed in and around other shepherds. That was kind of their community. And they were protective because if somebody comes on your land and your property without invitation, your kind of antennas raise up. Why are you on my land? Well, they protected their sheep. That's what their business was. That was their livelihood. So when the angel of the Lord shows up, they're not thinking it's a good thing because most of the time when the angels shows up, they bring judgment from God. However, this angel assures them that he's bringing good news. He's bringing tidings of great joy. So what follows in verse 11 is expounding on why the good news is good. Don't be afraid because I'm bringing you good news. For, now there's an explanation. He's going to expound on what he's just said. You don't need to be afraid because I'm not bringing judgment. I'm bringing good news, and let me explain to you why it's so good. Why is it so good? He's telling us why there should be great joy. For unto you. Now think about this. The angel does not say unto Joseph and Mary. He says unto you, speaking to the shepherds. This event is in some way personal to them. This message is personal to them. It applies, this event, whatever it is that this angel is going to tell them about, it applies to them. It says something personal is happening that is good news that will bring them great joy. You ever been with someone and they've received good news while you were there? So maybe they pick up the phone and they get the word that they've gotten a raise. Or maybe it's the doctor and the doctor says, no, you don't need to worry. The tests have come back fine. And so it puts a smile on your face and you rejoice with them. But it's different when you pick up the phone and the boss says you are the one that got the promotion. It's different when the good news is personal to you. Then there's a difference because it is personal. It is me. It's things that I've been thinking about or maybe even stressing over or whatever. And here comes this good news and it's great news. It's joyful. Good news is really good news when it applies directly to you. And so here this angel comes and he says, I've got good news and it is about you. It's unto you. I would imagine these shepherds didn't get a whole lot of good news. And it was rough and tough where they were at. And so they would welcome good news. And for this angel to say, no, this is applied to you personally. It's not a tax break. It's not. It's something that is personal to your life. It's unto you. Something has happened. And it also applies to us. We can read this to us. Unto us. We know that Jesus was obviously born to Joseph and Mary, right? He wasn't born to the shepherds. He wasn't, in a sense, born to us. This has double meaning. This is a gift from God. It is unto you, shepherds, and guess what? It is unto us today. We can say with the shepherds, hey, this is good news because it's about us. He was born unto the whole world. He was God's gift to each individual. That means everybody has the opportunity to receive this gift. And so the announcement is good news for everyone. This is good news for all because God gave His Son for us all. We all have the opportunity. And so for unto you is born. The angel tells them there's been a birth. It is a certainty. It's already happened, is born, and it's a birth that's going to bring you joy. This birth is personal to you, and for in some way, somehow, it's going to bring you joy. It is good news to you. Now, birth was really nothing new to these shepherds. Now, obviously, they probably had families, but that's not what I'm talking about. Think about it. They had flocks of sheep, so they saw birth all the time. And so, something being born, how is that going to help me? What does that mean? So birth isn't anything new to them. Why would that bring them great joy? Their wives weren't pregnant. Maybe they were, I don't know. Their sheep, most likely at this time, not ready to give birth. What's he talking about? What's this angel talking about? Well, this birth is unlike any other that had ever been or would ever be. This birth was the birth of a baby like no other. And of course, at this point, the shepherds don't understand what's going on. They don't know that a child's been born to Mary and Joseph. They don't even know Joseph and Mary. All they know is there's an angel that showed up. He's come to declare the importance of this birth in their life. There is something about this baby that has been born that is important to them. And it is going to affect them in a way that is going to bring them great joy. Now, we know why it's important. We understand. We have the rest of the story. We not just the rest of what happens to the shepherd, but we have the rest of the story all the way through. Is born for us has great theological significance. So we have to stop allowing ourselves to be caught up in the kind of gooey emotion of our modern day reenactment of the birth of Jesus. Yes, it is special. But that birth had meaning. It wasn't just, oh, look at that. That's not what this is about. That's not why we celebrate Christmas. Not because a baby was born and it's cute, because this baby was born. We've lost the awe of what took place when the Son of God is laying in the manger. The birth of Jesus was the entrance of God into the world of man in a way that had never taken place before. Is born meant the God of creation had condescended to submit himself under his own creation. Is born meant the Son of God had clothed himself in humanity's frailness. It is born meant that the Son of God began to experience the pain of life and the temptation of sin and the rejection of the world. It is born meant that the infinite God would live in the reality of finiteness. So in an act of unbelievable wisdom and love by God, is born happened. God stepped into the world that he had created, clothed in human flesh for our sake. Unto you is born this day. This day. This birth wasn't going to take place. It had already taken place. Whatever the reason, this birth was good news. It was good news right now. It's not good news is coming. No, the good news is good news because this birth has taken place. For unto you is born this day. Listen, there was no reason to ponder the when. The when was now. You remember as a kid having to wait for your Christmas presents till Christmas morning before you could open them up, right? Everybody remembers that? And you're always trying to con or make a deal with your parents to open one on Christmas Eve night. And if they let you, the next thing was, oh, can I open another? Just one more, right? And it didn't make it any easier that everywhere you went as a child, well, what are you getting for Christmas? Well, what do you want for Christmas? For, you know, so you're like thinking about it all the time. Then you sit down and watch TV, so every 4 minutes, there's a commercial about another game or another toy or another something that maybe you're going to get, maybe you want, but you can't because it's not December 25th at 9 a.m. Not December 25th at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. It's not December 25th at 9 a.m. And the anticipation of that is almost unbearable because you want to know. That's why they hide your gifts. Even after they're wrapped sometimes. So you're not doing this. And so there's this great anticipation of what is to come. I want to know what it is, but I'm waiting on that day. It's out there somewhere. The angel says, no, it's good news today, this day. It's already happened. Whatever it is that is going to bring great joy, that is such good news, has already occurred. It's happened this day. And you think the anticipation of Christmas morning was unbearable. The Jews had been waiting for thousands of years for this news, for this birth, for this event to take place, but no more, for this day had finally arrived. This day speaks of God's sovereign hand over the timing of all of this. It speaks of the perfect plan of God to bring about this birth at the perfect moment in time. Not too early, not too late, but this day, this day. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now, this was and is important for a couple of reasons. First, if the good news dealt with a birth, then the shepherds kind of needed to know where the birth had taken place. And of course, we know because the angel's going to tell them they need to go to that place. If they're going to be obedient to the word of the Lord, they also have to know where that place is. And so for them, it was important. However, this is also important because it begins to just slightly pull back, crack the nut a little bit, and give us a glimpse of why this particular birth is such good news. See, the city of David gives us more than just a location or an historical location of the event. It's a clue that this birth is of great importance because anything tied to David is worth considering. Why? Because David was the greatest king. He's the one that they wanted back on the throne. Now, they knew that couldn't happen, but they knew that one from David would sit on that throne forever. So when the shepherds heard city of David, they would have perked up. As well, this prepares them for what's about to be said. The angel is about to really unfold why this is good news. He's about to pull back the curtain. But he lays this foundation of historical significance to prepare them to receive the good news that the Messiah has come. Because that's what he's about to say. The Messiah is here. But they know there are certain things that have to take place. And so he's giving them this foundation. Look, this birth has taken place in the city of David, which is where the Messiah has to come from. A Savior has been born to you in the city of David, a Savior. Now it's really getting good. Of course, shepherds had no idea the full meaning of the birth of a Savior. Their minds were no more in tune to what God was up to than anyone else's, even through Jesus' ministry mostly. So they would have been thinking, a Savior, yes, this is good news, because that means we would be freed from Roman rule. Temporarily, because that's who we're over, and eternally from anybody else's rule. A Savior, he's going to deliver us. He's going to free us. No more taxation of the Romans. No more Roman guards telling me what to do, telling me I have to carry their pack. No more Romans telling me where I can take my sheep and all I can do. No more Romans saying that they are the best. We won't have to worry about that anymore. There is a Savior. However, we know it's much greater than that. We understand that when the angel says a Savior, again, it has much deeper meaning. A Savior meant man no longer had to be separated from God. A Savior meant freedom from sin. A Savior meant salvation from the wrath of God. A Savior meant the possibility of eternity with God. And so the angel continues to talk about this one being born. He says he is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He just comes out and he tells them plainly, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. He gives further definition and distinction about this birth, about this baby who is a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He's the one sent by God to deliver his people. He's the one who will sit on David's throne for eternity. And he is also Lord. And there is the distinction. He is Christ the Lord. He is the one who is not just a baby who will grow into a warrior. He is the one who is not just a man who will speak the truth from God. He is the Lord. He's God himself. Again, great theological significance there. He's not just a baby born who will deliver a people. He is God taking on human flesh who will deliver mankind from his sins. So though the truths found in is born are real, they don't mean that God loses any of his godness. The Christ would be born and yet still be the unborn one. He would take on finite human form and yet remain infinite. He would bleed in his flesh and yet heal the bodies of the sick. He would be man and God. And this could only be said if he who is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. The good news the angel brought to the shepherds was, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this announcement would have been good news for them. They would have rejoiced. It would have been great joy. Even in their understanding, it would have brought them great joy. However, they didn't fully understand who the baby was. They didn't fully understand why this baby had been born, why he had come. So they couldn't comprehend how good this good news really was. They were rejoicing over the announcement of this baby, of this Savior, but they really didn't know how good this good news was. When our girls were younger, we were in Florida, each of them would get to go on their first trip to Disney with just mom and dad. But we wouldn't tell them where we were taking them. So we just let them know they're going to get to go on vacation. It's good. Going to be with mom and dad. None of your sisters are coming. Nobody else. It's just the three of us. Boy, they thought that was good news. Just hang out with mom and dad. They spend all the money on me. I don't have to share. You know, they don't have to say, well, sorry, we don't have enough money because there's all of us and this. It's just about us. So that was good news. So we'd take them out of school because I don't do Disney when there's lines because it's not happening. But we'd get him in the car, and then we just begin to drive. So we go up 95, you hit I-4, and you go west. That's how you get to Disney from Jacksonville. And it's about a 2.5 hour, 3 hour drive. And wouldn't tell him where we were going. We'd stop along the way. They'd go, "Is this it? Is this it?" I'm like, no, we've got a ways to go. We'll get to where we're going eventually. And so then we'd get to Orlando. And of course, Orlando's busy and there's buildings and stuff. Is this it? Yeah, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. And then we'd finally get on to the Disney property in the Disney park. And we'd start driving through and we'd say, "Hey, look out the window. Who's that?" And they'd say, "Oh, that's Mickey Mouse," or "That's Pluto," or "That's Goofy." About the third or fourth sign, all of a sudden, ding, it hit them what was going on. "Are we going to Disney World?" I said, "Yep, that's what we're doing." Man, the good news just got way, way better. They thought it was good news just to go with us. But when they realized the rest of the story, the whole story, then it was really, really good news. See, the shepherds would have been excited, but not as excited as you and I should be. Not as excited as you and I should be. See, we shouldn't just celebrate Christmas. We should celebrate Christmas. And there is a difference. Because the shepherds didn't have the whole story. The shepherds didn't know what was to come. The shepherd had only been told that there is a baby that is born who will be a Savior. He is Christ the Lord, Messiah. We know fully what that means and the effects and the ramifications in our own life. And so we get so excited about gifts that are destroyed by rust and moth. We rejoice over those things. And that's okay. It's fine. But we should greatly rejoice as we reflect on the fact that a Savior was born. See, the greatest joy of Christmas has nothing to do with the temporary stuff that you're going to receive in 12 days. The greatest joy of Christmas is found in the eternal gift given to man by God on that day. The joy that comes from temporary gifts is temporary. But the joy that comes from eternal gifts is eternal. It's eternal. And so that means no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what has happened, whatever's going to happen that you don't know about, doesn't make a difference if you have a lot of family coming in. Doesn't matter if you have no family coming in. Doesn't matter the number of gifts that you get or don't get. It doesn't matter what they are. You have reason to rejoice. For unto you at the appointed day in God's plan was born a Savior in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And that is why we rejoice. That is why we celebrate. And I pray that that is what we are telling others about. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about just a religious figure that we follow. Christmas is about God coming into the form of man so that he could live a perfect life and die for our sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you loved us enough that when you looked down at our rebellion and had every right to destroy us, instead you extended grace and mercy through the birth of your Son into this world. And so I pray that as we think about this story, and it's so easy to just gloss over all the events and what took place, that we would take the time to meditate and chew on the Scripture and what was being said and what was being done. That we would, like these shepherds, with great joy in our hearts, go and tell. Doesn't matter whether the others believe us, doesn't matter what they say or how they respond. But we would go and tell. And Father, what a great opportunity we have this season. As men and women are more open to talk about spiritual things, this is our opportunity to make much of you. Jesus, thank you that you came. And thank you that because you came, we've been freed from our selfishness and our own self-righteousness that allows us to look with humility and brokenness on a lost world, lost neighbors who know no better, and empowers us with courage and boldness to go to them and declare to them the good news. And I pray that we would do that. We would be obedient to take up our privilege and share the good news of the gospel this Christmas season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.